Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
You thought I
You thought I was the devil.
Welcome to Singles Point of View. My name is Eunice, and this is going to be very interesting because this is the first show, so we're going to work these out. Alexis, are you on the call?
I am. How are you?
I am great. And how are you?
I'm blessed. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. I'm so excited about this call. I'm on Facebook, and a couple of people have me and said they can't wait to hear your story. So I am excited about that. Questions for Alexis or myself, you can call in at 516-387-1265. So just a brief of who I am. I have a singles ministry that God blessed me.
I have not dropped it. Oh, God, now this is the enemy trying to stop me from doing this interview because I must be about to do something great, Lord. But
oh, Lord.
Alexis,
are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I couldn't, my phone went blank. Let me tell you how the devil is working.
Wait, we're still on the air. So,
oh, no,
you okay?
Yes, my phone went blank. It went blank. It shut off completely. I don't even know how you're on the phone.
That's okay, because my phone, what happened was somehow it dropped my call. So this is going to be very interesting. And guess what? I will be calling customer service tomorrow morning.
Amen.
So I was giving my testimony of being celibate for 19 years. God is blessed through the grace of God. And we're going to talk about that later on. And it's a practical side as well as a spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
When I travel, I talk about the practicality of it is, you know, you got to know your body. You have to have boundaries. And you don't set yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the spiritual side is you have to have a personal relationship with Christ. And that helps to guard your heart. That helps to keep you keen in the spirit, as well as it helps you to be able to overturn wrong fleshly decisions. So
yes.
That's me. And if you, I ask you to visit my website at www.singleswithasspointofview.com. So I want to get into your story. Tell me about the first day you met your husband.
The first day I met my husband, well, we actually went to high school together, but we were just cool. Hey, bye. You know, he was cool, I was cool. And, you know, I didn't actually start seeing him in a certain way until maybe the 11th grade. And it was just something different about him that I was intrigued by. But, you know, I couldn't talk to him because he was in his own little clique or whatever. So I was just like, okay, I'll just leave him alone. Plus, my friend had liked him at one point in time. So I was like, my friend liked you, so I'm going to just back. But you're cute, though. I just want you to know I'm fine. So it was like that. But we actually started dating my freshman year of college. I don't know if people remember MySpace, but MySpace was popping back then.
I remember
2008, 2009. And he just wrote me out of nowhere and was like, hey, how you doing? I'm just like, hey, how come you left our school? Because he left our high school. I went to North Clayton High School in Clayton County. And
so you're
I was trying
Georgia.
To figure out why he – yeah, no, I'm from Miami. I moved to Georgia when I was 14. But I graduated from North Clayton High School, yeah. So, you know, he wrote me on MySpace, and so we had a little brief conversation as to why he moved away and things like that. And I told him I was at Alabama State University. And, you know, I was like, well, I'm logging off MySpace, and I really didn't have nothing to do. I just wanted to give him my number. So I was like, I'm logging off MySpace, check out my number, talk to you later, bye. It took him like 2 weeks to text my phone. I was like, man, okay. But eventually, he texted me. We started communicating, and we got along pretty well. And then that's just how it began.
So that was, the communication started on MySpace, and from there, did you guys start as friends, or did the communication was automatically an intimate conversation?
We was friends. We were really, really good friends. Like then it was like a school break. He told me what school he went to. He came home for a break and was like, "Can I come see you?" I'm like, "Of course." And then when he came to see me, I'm like, Whoa, hold on, you look way better than you did.
Uh-huh. So the friend level kind of left at that point. Like, you
fine.
Yeah,
I was like, and then before he left, he hugged me. And I was like, whoa, that was not a friendly hug. You like me, don't you? He was like, no, stop playing.
He didn't give
you
the church hug. You know how we do the church hug, you know, we kind of push our butts back.
Yeah, it wasn't a church hug at all. I was like, you like me, don't you? He was like, man, watch out, dog. I was like, whatever.
Well, you know, it's hard for men to express their feelings. They will hide behind other emotions, but it's hard for them to just express their feelings.
Yeah, I wonder why, though. Maybe because of the way that they're raised. You know, men they're raised to not cry, to not show
right.
emotion. So they grow
right.
up feeling like that, I guess.
Right, right. I heard this one preacher say, there could be two toddlers running down the road, a little boy and a little girl. The little boy falls to the ground, and the men and everybody else, he start crying, "You all right? Get up, you all right?"
Mm-hmm.
The little girl falls, everyone runs out, pick her up, "You okay, baby?" Kind of baby her
mm-hmm.
up. And like
yep.
you said, maybe it's their raising. Little girls was given baby dolls, little boys was given little guns, little BB guns.
Right.
So
and,
it may
yeah.
be that. So in high school, did he appear to be, had a good family culture? You know, you can tell when someone is coming from a really hard home or a really good home. Did you know anything about him?
He looked like he had a great home because he always knew how to dress. Like, oh my God, he used to dress so nice. And I mean, I just used to look at him. He always had different hats, and he was just, you know, at North Clayton,
yeah, GQ.
It was a tough school. So if you didn't dress the right way or good, like, you was gonna get taken out. You would have got your feelings hurt. You know, my mom couldn't really afford for me to like be best dressed or nothing like that. But my personality shined. I was very popular.
Nah,
so it was like it didn't really matter that I didn't have the best clothes, because I had a bomb shape in high school. Not to be arrogant, but I had a really I had a really nice shape in high school.
Oh, you were
so
fine. You were fine.
Right, I was fine. I was nice looking. So that really didn't matter. So I knew how to mix. Even though I wore the same stuff all the time, it ain't no shame in it, you know, because God has the glory in the end. You know, you have to go through stuff to get to where you're supposed to be. But
that's
people really
right.
didn't notice because I was so popular and I was so cool with everybody. But yes, of course, he dressed really nice. Like he was really well dressed.
Well, take me back to the hug. So after the hug and you asked him, did he like you, when did you actually start to date?
We started dating maybe like a month after that. We communicated as friends for like a month. And then I was just like, then my sister asked me, why aren't you his girlfriend? Like, I mean, he call you baby. He tell you, you know, you're beautiful, all this stuff. And I'm like, that's a good question. So I asked him, I said, why am I not your girlfriend? And he was like, I'm going to call you back. He called me right back and was like, will you be my girlfriend? I was like, duh. Like, so it was crazy. It was lame. We were so lame back then. Oh, my God. Just you taking me down memory lane. It was just like, oh, my God. We were such kids. We were kids. We were such kids back then. Hello? Hello?
Okay. I'm not sure what's going on with my calls. So we're going to try this one more time, but let's listen to Anthony.
Yes, I don't know what is no, but
it might be my phone. It might be my phone. I tell you, well, I tell you, thank God for family and friends. They're gonna love me. This is just the first one. This is just the first one.
Amen. We're gonna need to get it together because Satan got to get his hands up off of something.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Please.
I decided. I said maybe if I do Google, maybe that'll work better. Now let's speed into your the testimony. You dated for a month, and how long did you guys date before you actually got engaged?
Well, we began to date maybe July 2009. I want to say 2009, and then that's when we began to date. But August, he asked me to be his girlfriend. I became his girlfriend. I left Alabama State. I went to the college that he was going to. And in December, he proposed to me on Christmas. And we got married the next February, which was 2010. We had our first child September 2000.
Wait. Let's look at this timeline. Y'all started dating?
In August. Mm-hmm.
In August.
Yep.
Got engaged in December.
Yep.
So the August, September, October, November. So y'all
that's
were
like
dating
4 months.
4 months. Mm-hmm. And then got married 8 months afterwards?
No, like six. It's more like six. Because he proposed to me in December. Yeah, he proposed to me in December. We got married in February.
But do you think that you had such a short time frame because you already knew him?
That as well as, you know, I got saved by Canton Jones when I was a senior in high school. That's my pastor. Shout out to my pastor, Canton Jones. I love you. I thank God for you. But, right. But, you know, at that time, I was really dating God. And I was like, okay, God, like this is what I want in a husband and this and this and this and this. And so when I started dating him, I just associated him with the man that I had been praying for. So it's like when we started dating and we fell in love and when he proposed to me, I was like, oh, God, this has to be you. This has to be somebody that you sent to me because look how fast it's happening. You know, look at the stuff I'm going through and he just want to take me out of this situation. God, this has to be you.
Mm.
So that had a lot to do with it. Sometimes we ask God for things and when something appears, we automatically think that that's what God has give it to us instead of asking for confirmation about it. But that's another story. We'll get into the glitz and glamours of that.
So you guys are married and you got pregnant, what, right after the marriage?
It's like, no, well, I see that's the funny thing about the timeline. December 25th, he asked me to marry him. I said, yes. Yeah. So the very next day, I know this is unbelievable. People may not believe me, but the very next day, my mom told me she had a dream. She had a dream that I was pregnant and I was laying on my stomach. And I was like, my mom is from Florida, so she believed in all those old woman remedies. I said, oh, mom, my boobs. I said, mom, my boobs hurt so bad. She logged off her job right then and there because she worked from home and went and got me a pregnancy test. And she said, oh, my God, I know you're not pregnant. And I found out I was pregnant the day after this man proposed to me. I found out I was pregnant.
She was pregnant. Wow. So, but everything at this point was going pretty good.
everything at this point was going good, except for my home life. So when he proposed to me, I can honestly say that I was not ready to get married. I wanted to finish school. I wanted to finish college before I did all that. But my living situation, you know, I had a lot going on. I did not get along with my mom. It was just so much turmoil in my house. And I'm looking at this man who loves me, and I really had never felt love like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, of course.
And it was a way of an escape.
It was a way of an escape.
So yep. You guys,
and it doesn't really take the love away that I have for him, because I really did love him. I wanted him to be my husband, just not right then and there.
Right. Because before marriage, and I think a lot of single people do not realize this, like Canton says a lot, singleness means wholeness. So you can't not have. You're not finding your better half. You're not. You are whole, and you're waiting for the other person that's whole. If there's any issues that need to be dealt with, that need to be healed, needs to happen before the marriage, because marriage in itself already has working out things that need to be done.
Yep. And I can honestly say I was not whole when we got married. I was tormented from my past.
Either. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he wasn't either. So tell me about, you guys got married, and the first part of your marriage was beautiful, huh?
We got married. We moved to Augusta. We moved from Atlanta to Augusta. Before we got married, I followed him to Augusta. I went to Augusta, stayed with him and his mom, and then we got an apartment. And then, you know, we got along really well. We both worked a lot. And our marriage was pretty much best friendship. There was not a lot of intimacy. I can say there was not a lot of intimacy. You know, I would try to figure out, why can't I be that intimate? Like, what is wrong with me? And it's hard to believe, because I have two children by this man, but it's the truth. But he was my best friend. I can honestly say that during the marriage, that was the only friend that I had. I really didn't have female friends like that. It was just really me and my husband and our child. We were all we had in God. That was it. Like, we were each other's best friend. We did everything together.
So before the marriage, were you intimate? You were intimate because you got pregnant. So after the marriage is when the intimacy seemed kind of distant.
Right, which is weird. And I thought it was so weird because I thought it was me. I thought something was wrong with me. Like, Lord, okay, I was able to be intimate with him before I got married. So what's the problem now? I did not understand. I would cry about it. It made me very, very insecure that I didn't want to be intimate. Even though I had got pregnant again, the level of intimacy wasn't there. I didn't want to be intimate, and I did not know why. I thought that I had an issue. Like, what is my issue? What is wrong with me?
So when was the first warning sign that you got in the marriage when you say, you know what, I think I made a mistake. I might have married the wrong person.
When he joined the Army.
Mm.
It was years later. But I can honestly say sometimes, even before that, I would lay in the bed and I would be like, Lord, I don't really feel like I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I just go to work, come home, love my husband, love my children, and that's it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not singing in the choir. I'm not doing nothing but going to work and coming home. I'm in school, but that's about it. I'm not doing anything else. Like, I did nothing. And it just made me feel like, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? What else could I be doing? Like, I just felt like something was missing.
There was an emptiness there. So we're going to talk about him going to the Army and what happened after that. But let's listen to Mary J. Blige and let's pray it works. We're just fine.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move, it makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here, it makes me want to...
Let this thing called love get away from you.
that I ain't gonna let you kill it.
Yes, ma'am.
He went to the army, and when he came back, was he acting different? Was he acting abusive? What happened after he came back from the army?
Well, first of all, I didn't want him to go to the army. I actually fell into like a minor depression. I actually started taking depression pills, but I spoke against it. I poured them all down the drain. I was like, no, I speak against this in the name of Jesus. So, but it's like when he left, I felt empty. You know, I had a sense of emptiness when he left just because I didn't want him to go. But as a wife, you know, you're trying to live for God. You're trying to be submissive and be like, okay, well, if this is something you have to do, I have to submit. That's where I was thinking. Like, I have to submit to what you want to do for your family and things like that. But when he came home, as soon as he came home, it was time for us to move to Washington. So we didn't really get to bond a lot when he came home because it was automatically time to move. We moved like a couple of days after he got out of training. So we got to Washington. I want to say we were in Washington for one week, and I immediately noticed a difference in him. He was not the same husband as he was when he left. He wasn't abusive, but he was distant. He was cold. He was different. He just wasn't my husband. The way I can explain it is me looking at him and I'm like, hey, you're not the person who left here. Like, I'm looking at you waiting on him to come back. And I felt like, in a sense, I felt like I was cheating on my husband with this man that I was living with. That's the best way I can explain it.
Wow. So it's almost as if you had two different guys in your life. You had
made
a vow to God. But he was so distant that being with him made you feel like you was with somebody totally different.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him. I would look at him and I would just be like, you know, I'm really waiting on my husband to show up, my baby, like the man that left me. I'm waiting on him to come back. Like, where is he? It's not funny. The joke needs to be over.
And at this point, the intimacy was definitely gone. Well, not gone,
it was,
but
definitely. It was out the window. And you know what would be funny? You know, he would come home sometimes and be like, well, such and such wife does this with him and this and that. And I'm just like, well, I'm not his wife. Like, you don't even talk to me. You want me to just be intimate with you. Like, we barely talk. We don't communicate. So I don't understand.
I heard a pastor say lovemaking starts that earlier that day and not just at that night. You can't expect.
Right.
As a woman, you have to woo us and get us mm-hmm. into. Our emotions are attached to lovemaking. Not all women, but the
yeah.
majority of women. As far as a man, though, you know, he can get turned on and he's ready, mm-hmm. but we put our heart into it.
Yeah.
And
it's mental,
like,
for us as well.
It's mental for us. And to feel like, you know, you haven't talked to me, you haven't spent no time with me, you haven't given me a non-sexual touch, because I learned that as well. You know, some women, you hold my hand, rub my neck, but I'm
mm-hmm.
supposed to strip naked and we're supposed to make love and it's supposed to be awesome and spectacular.
You know, honestly, sometimes I would give him my body just because he was my husband, and I felt terrible those nights. I would cry myself to sleep, like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I would cry during and he wouldn't notice. You know, he wouldn't notice. I'm not saying he raped me, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I would give him my body because he asked for it. But I wouldn't want to give him my body. But since he's my husband, and I was just so afraid sometimes to be disobedient to God. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, you said I have to submit. I'm going to just submit. And he would just come home and be like, all right. And not even do nothing, no kissing, no touching, no nothing. Just expect me to just. And sometimes I would, sometimes I wouldn't. But sometimes I'd be like, you know what, this is still my husband. So I am going to be intimate with him, even though I didn't want to.
Was there anyone that you can talk to at this point, or did you hold all this internally?
I talked to some of them. I had a few army wives that were my friends and things like that. You know, it's so funny. Like, in the beginning, we were good. You know, I would talk to some army wives, and they would tell me the stuff that they was going through and how their husband was acting. And I would be in my head like, oh, Lord, glory be to God. I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I ain't got to go through that. You know, and then the table turned, and it was me.
It was you.
I was that woman. I was that woman crying. I was that woman looking in the mirror like, wait, I must not be pretty no more. It must be something wrong
wow.
with me. This man don't
wow.
even look at me.
Wow.
The worst feeling, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say the worst feeling in the world is sleeping next to somebody who looked past you or who can lay there and sleep peacefully while you cry yourself to sleep. And they don't even notice that you're crying. Or you don't notice if they notice that you're crying. That's the worst feeling as a woman, to be with somebody and to feel unwanted. I'm with you. I'm married to you. But you act like you don't want me. That's the worst feeling in the world. I wish that feeling on no one.
Because husband and wife, and that's why, you know, as being single, I minister this all the time. Because some women feel like, hey, and I've heard this before, you know, half
mm-hmm.
man is better than no man, and, you know, that type of
mm-hmm.
stuff. But the Bible says the two shall become one.
One,
which means he will feel, I mean, I'm not saying that this person is perfect, but I've heard couples say, you know, I heard this young lady say, you know, I was at work and having a really bad day and just feeling terrible, and then her
mm-hmm.
phone will ring, and it'll be her husband, like, babe, I just thought about
yeah.
you. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
that one. That God,
that's that oneness, right?
Married. Right, right. But you didn't feel that with your husband.
Mm-mm. But then on the flip side of that, when you're one with someone and there is neglect or there is abandonment, you feel it worse. You feel it more, actually. It's like you're one with the person and mentally or spiritually or emotionally, they're not connected to you anymore. So the emptiness is much deeper. It's a really overwhelming feeling to be in a marriage, someone who don't want you. That's
wow.
the worst. It's such a a dreadful feeling. It's because it's such a full feeling. Like when you're married and you're really happy, that's the best feeling that you could have. But when you're married and you're going through it, and this person is physically here, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually not here.
Yeah.
It's such a dreadful feeling, and it takes a toll on the household. It took a toll on my children. It took a toll on me at work. It was times where I would go to work and I could not work, and I was a teacher at the time. I had a 2-year-old classroom, and I would just be in there just looking at the wall like, I can't deal with these 2-year-olds right now because I can't even hear them. Like, it just got to a point where I was just a zombie. I can honestly say I believe I became a zombie in my household, just like a body. I would go to church.
That's all I'm about to ask. Now, I know you say you received Christ under the direction of Canton Jones. Did he ever have a personal relationship with Christ?
Well, before we started going out, he called me one day when he went to Bible study and told me he gave his life to God. But you know what I realized now at 26? In our marriage, every time something needed to be prayed for, he would ask me to pray. Lexus, go pray. Pray for this. Lexus, pray for this. Wow. Ask God this. Ask God that. You know, you have the hotline to God, Lexus, so you ask God.
Wow.
And I'm just like, you can ask God too. Like, so it's like when spiritually I was the leader in our marriage, which is so backward because it's so vital for your husband to be the spiritual leader in the marriage.
Right.
And
right.
In Washington, he just stopped going with me to church altogether. He just did not go. He was uninterested in Christ then. Christ, I take that back. He was uninterested in going to church. He didn't want to go anymore.
When did you get to your breaking point where you said, enough is enough, and you came back to Georgia?
Well, see, actually, I was taking sleeping pills for, like, I want to say 6 months. I took sleeping pills to go to sleep. And one day I just told him, you know, sometimes we women, I'm like, you know what? I want to go visit my mom in Georgia. I want to go visit my family in Georgia, you know, so I can feel loved. I don't feel loved here. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever, fine. You know, we had been talking about it. And then when I got to the breaking point, because I'm skipping over a lot of stuff, but the breaking point was not me leaving. He actually sent me away. So he was going to the field, like on the field experience, because he's in the military, so they do things like that. And I was coming down to Atlanta to see my mom for a month. We were going to visit her for 1 month because I knew like a couple of people in Washington, but he wanted me to be near to my family. I'm like, okay. So during this time, you know, we know I'm leaving. We know me and the kids are coming here, but the plan is for us to come back. Time was getting closer for me to leave. He would say things like, oh, well, when you go down there, I'm going to put myself on child support. And I would be like, why would you do that? Like, we're coming right back. What are you talking about? So he was throwing little hints as to the fact that you're not coming back up here.
Wow.
So I was kind of looking past it. I was like, you know what? Since we're having all these problems, I'm just going to stay. So when you get out of the field, we will be here when you come home. And he was like, no, you're not staying. You're going. And I'm like, you know, if you send me away and I'm telling you that I don't want to go, that, you know, you won't get your family back. You know, like, think about your son. And he was just like, well, you know what? If I send you down here, you'll be back. You know, they always come back. Like, women always come back.
Oh,
and I'm like,
wow.
If you send – yeah, he was very arrogant. He was very arrogant with it. And I said, if you send me and my children away, we will not come back up here. Because I'm telling you that I don't want to go. I'm telling you that I want to make our marriage work. Like, I don't.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And at that moment, that's when I was just like, you know, God, have your way. But the funny thing is I had been praying for months and asking God to help me. Lord, help me. This is not my life. I'm only 25. I shouldn't be crying this much. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing that. And I guess I spoke it into existence already. Like, you know, I want to go be with my family, like the family that loves me. And so when God heard that, I guess he used that as my way out. Like, okay, well, I know this hurts you that he's sending you away, but I'm sending you away for your protection.
Wow. And, you know, You came to Georgia. I met you maybe like a couple of months ago. Loved your spirit. When I the first
Thank
time
you.
I talked, I said, "Oh, this girl is on fire for God."
Amen.
We're gonna listen to another song, and what I want when we come back, I want you to tell the audience about your outreach ministry and the good things you're doing, and the anointing that is so obvious on your life, and then of course your contact information. So let's hold on and listen, and we're gonna be praying for this one to play as well. This is one of my favorite songs from high school, Mr. Prince, or the artist formerly known as Prince. You're in the 20s. I'm in the 40s.
The only Prince song I know is Why did I see love each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
I think we're going to throw a party in honor of Prince.
Oh, goodness. I wear purple.
Good. Good. So tell me about your outreach ministry.
Okay, so my outreach, it's me and my sisters. We're called Favored. And it's a couple of more other ladies as well. And we're just a bunch of women who promote self-love through the love of God.
Yes.
And
yes.
We have teamed up with a group of dancers. They have a dance ministry. Their name is Redemption. And when they were just in Canton Jones' Preacher Man video, shout out to Redemption. I love you guys. And we call ourselves the Genesis. The outreach is called the Genesis. So what we do, we go out and we just give all of our gifts to God. Like we drum, we play the keyboard, we sing, we dance, we rap, we mime, and we just go out and give these big performances based on all of the gifts that we have. And we teach kids dance lessons, we teach keyboarding, drums, and we just promote the love of God. Like we just teach, you know, it's okay to be young and cool, but you can love God, because I'm a motivational speaker as well as an artist. So I have some music coming out soon, so I'm so excited about that. I'm so happy about it. I also have a book coming out soon. It's called Learning to Love You. So you guys be on call for that. It's an interactive reader that teaches about the love of God. You know, it has a bunch of different confessions in there that just help you to just love yourself and love the way that God created you. Like, you have to love you. Self-love is the best love. I really had to learn that the hard way. If you don't love you, it's going to be hard to even accept the calling on your life or walking your purpose. It's going to be very difficult, because you're like, I'm not even good enough to do this. When you are, because God put it in you. He ordained it for you to do it.
That's right. Well, tell us, how can we get in contact with you?
Well, you guys can follow me on Facebook. It's Alexis Brown. My Instagram is @beautifullyalexis. I also have a Snapchat. Y'all don't judge me. I do a lot of funny things on Snapchat. my Snapchat is simply Alexis 0808.
Yes. Now, I want to thank you, Alexis, for being so transparent, for being open, for, you know, allowing us into your personal life as a ministry and a testimony. God is going to bless you for being so obedient to his calling. And I just want to let you know that I love you. You know I do.
I love you.
And
I mean, God is going to bless you as well. I thank you. I thank you for even inviting me to speak with you. I believe in your ministry. I believe that God is going to take this further than you have ever imagined, than you could have even dreamed of. I declare blessings on your life, and I just thank you for being an awesome woman of God that you are, and for giving your testimony, because that actually helped me to hear God and give my testimony, because it's not easy being transparent and telling the things that you went through, because some people judge. But it's not about people. It's about giving God the glory in the end. And my marriage did not go well and things like that, but God has already spoken to me that I have somebody just for you. And it's so easy to get depressed, because the Bible does tell us what God put together, let no man tear apart. But God is like, did I put that together for you, or is it something that you put together? I just want to encourage everybody out there, seek God, man. Seek God in all that you do, whether it's a job, whether it's a friend, because we get so disappointed when things don't turn out the way we thought that they would. But seek God before you do anything in life, because it may not be what he has wanted you to do. So like me, I was been married for 5 years in a marriage that God did not ordain. So I got my heart broken and got my feelings hurt and went around this whole circle before I started even walking in my purpose. So I just be mindful, be aware of what's going on around you. Ask God for the spirit of discernment. Lord, help me, lead me, guide me every single day I wake up. God, what do I need to do today? And he tells me. And ever since then, I've been able to walk in my purpose, and these opportunities have been coming all out my way, and I just give him the glory.
Amen. Well, we're going to close out with a prayer. Father, we thank you for this moment, and we thank you for the opportunity to minister. Lord, I thank you for Alexis. Thank you, God, that she is so transparent and so obedient to your word to share this testimony. Father, I declare and decree that those who have been assigned to hear this word, Lord, I declare that it came across gracefully unto them. And Lord, I pray for the marriages. We declare in the body of Christ, no more divorces. Lord, I pray for us singles that we will be, like Alexa said, be discerning and be praying and waiting for you to give us the okay for that mate.
God.
In the name of Jesus,
God.
Lord, and I come against depression. I come against loneliness.
Please.
I come against anxiety, and I come against
the
spirit of rush in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will be whole, we will be waiting, we will be in our purpose, and we will be pursuing the things of you, and you will put us in the hearts of our mates, and our mates will be the head of the home, men of God. There will be men of purpose, men of prayer, men that understands ministry, that's not easily intimidated. Father, I pray for our black men, that they will rise up and be their leader in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for everyone. Thank you for Alexis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank
yes,
you,
God. Thank you
so much. And thank you for coming out and being part of Singles Ministry, Singles Point of View. Make sure you check out my website at www.singlespointofview.com. Thanks, Alexis.
Amen. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.